Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Good Wednesday morning. We are getting a clearer picture of that disaster in Baltimore.
But the search for answers is just beginning. It is March 27th. This is today. Breaking overnight, rescue efforts, now a recovery mission after that horrifying bridge collapse in Baltimore.
At this point, we do not believe that we're going to find any of these individuals still alive.
Divers back in the water this morning searching for the six construction workers who fell into that chilly harbor. Many other lives spared after a last-second Mayday call from the ship, while tens of thousands of commuters and one of the nation's busiest ports face an aftermath that could last for years.
This will be a major and protracted impact to supply chains.
Straight ahead, live coverage from the scene, and we will go one-on-one with the governor of Maryland. Supreme Court showdown.
Women's health matters. Women's health matters.
The fate of the most commonly used abortion pill in the country now in the hands of the nation's highest court, with the justices signaled during that high-stakes hearing. New fallout. Donald Trump hit with a gag order after slamming the judge ahead of his upcoming criminal trial. We'll have the very latest. Countdown to Paris.
You will have the Tour Eiffel on your left.
Olympic preparations in overdrive, a major focus, security. This morning, a firsthand look at the sprint to the finish, with the opening ceremony just months away. Ozempic babies, women now highlighting an unintended result of those wildly popular drugs for weight loss, pregnancy.
It may have been a shock and not at all in our plans, but we're open to it.
Inside, the surprise baby boom and what's behind it. All that plus striking it rich, a winner overnight in the $1.1 billion Mega Millions drawing just ahead where that one lucky ticket was sold. And move over fries, here come the donuts. The new deal bringing two icons together, McDonald's and Krispy Kreme, and people are already loving it today, Wednesday, March 27th, 2024.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Today on a Wednesday morning. Nice to have you with us. And we got to get right to our top story, the search for answers after the collapse of Baltimore's Key Bridge.
Yeah, here we've got a live look at the scene where divers just re-entered the water. That barge still tangled in all that twisted steel. And we have no word yet on how long before it could possibly be removed.
And we can tell you that overnight, the search for survivors ended. The operation to find the six construction workers who fell into the river is now being called a recovery by the Coast Guard.
Meantime, there is a new theory emerging over what caused that cargo ship to slam into the bridge. And there are new concerns about the major supply chain and commuter issues that are going to unfold in the coming weeks, months, and possibly even years.
We've got complete coverage this morning, including a live interview with the governor of Maryland and new details on those missing construction workers just coming in. Let's get started with NBC's senior national correspondent Tom Yamas, who is there. Tom, good morning.
Savannah, good morning to you. It is a new day here at the Port of Baltimore, and as you mentioned, a new mission. The Coast Guard fears the six members of that missing construction crew either were killed during the collapse or drowned because they have not been able to locate them. And they say that water is just too cold for anyone to survive. As this morning, we're already hearing from family members of those victims and new reports of a complete and total blackout aboard that cargo vessel that caused this crash.
This morning, divers back in the water searching after that cargo ship crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing its shocking collapse. And as authorities look for answers, the Wall Street Journal, citing people familiar with the probe, say investigators are looking into contaminated fuel, among other leads, and whether or not it played a role in the giant ship losing power and losing control. And this morning, NBC News learning the NTSB has located the ship's voyage data recorder. Similar to a plane's black box, it should help investigators find answers to what went wrong on the Dolly causing that deadly crash. Officials announcing overnight the search and rescue operation for six missing construction workers is now a recovery mission.
That at this point, we do not believe that we're going to find any of these individuals still alive.
The wife of construction worker Miguel Luna telling our sister station Telemundo he was working on the bridge at the time and she has not heard anything about his whereabouts. Luna, a father of six from El Salvador, posting a gender reveal of a grandchild just this month. The Mexican embassy in the U.S. saying the construction workers included people from Mexico, Guatemala, and El Salvador. A live stream capturing the nightmarish moments of the collision. At 1:24 a.m., you can see the ship's lights turn off. They came back on a minute later as dark smoke started billowing. At 1:26 a.m., the lights go out again. 2 minutes later, the ship collides with the bridge. We flew overhead, witnessing the full scope of the destruction.
As we get in closer, you're struck by how this bridge, something that appears to be sturdy with concrete and steel and pilings, can now look like this.
The vessel, identified as the Singapore flag container ship Dolly, was headed to Sri Lanka. The ship's operator, Synergy, says all crew members have been accounted for and that it's cooperating with the investigation. The crew aboard the ship sending a mayday call just before striking the bridge. That signal giving authorities just enough time to close the bridge to traffic, likely saving lives. Sean Jackson actually loaded up the ship that crashed into the bridge.
Did you notice anything strange yesterday?
No, I did not. Just a regular day. You know, I would have never thought in a million years that would happen.
Now, as for the missing, the Coast Guard says they still have not located the people who likely lost their lives in this disaster, but they're not going to stop searching for them. They are up against some very big odds, including little to no visibility in the river just behind me, plus that bridge debris that could injure them or breach their diving gear. Hoda?
All right, I'll grab it, Tom. Thank you very much.
The impact of this collapse is only beginning to be felt. Not only is it a major disruption for tens of thousands of commuters, this could really create supply chain chaos for the entire country. And NBC's Tom Costello is picking up that part of the story. Hey, Tom, morning.
Yeah, let's underscore what you just said, right? The trouble is just beginning here on the East Coast and extending out into the Midwest. It will likely take some time for the Port of Baltimore to reopen. It's going to take a lot of work to get all of that wreckage out. We may be talking weeks or so to reopen the port, maybe even months. But as for actually rebuilding the bridge and therefore the consequences and the effects on transportation across the entire system, we could be talking years.
Here in Baltimore, the massive cleanup effort hasn't even started yet. Local commuters and the nation's critical supply chain must now adjust for what could be an extremely lengthy and costly effort to return to normal.
The path to normalcy will not be easy. It will not be quick. It will not be inexpensive. But we will rebuild together.
The busy Port of Baltimore, almost entirely cut off, blocked by a large portion of the fallen Francis Scott Key Bridge after that overnight collision involving a massive cargo ship. The ninth busiest in the nation, Baltimore's port handled more than $80 billion in international cargo last year. Located in the heart of the Mid-Atlantic, Baltimore is the closest East Coast port to the Midwest. And within a day's drive to a third of the entire country's population. It's also the nation's top port in terms of handling farm and construction machinery and cars and light trucks, with nearly 850,000 vehicles passing through last year.
There is no question that this will be a major and protracted impact to supply chains.
The Key Bridge, spanning just a mile and a half of the 51-mile-plus Baltimore Beltway, still a vital local artery, carrying more than 11 million vehicles last year.
Drivers in this area are going to feel the impact pretty quickly here.
That includes nearly 4,900 truck drivers every day. Many of them used the bridge because of size and restrictions, barring hazardous materials from going through the city's two main express tunnels.
There's going to be significant disruptions to trucking on the East Coast.
Still, experts say it's unlikely we will see a massive supply chain backup like the one the country experienced during the pandemic.
Yeah, and the reason for that is really interesting. Apparently, the supply chain, according to the experts we've talked to, has gotten a lot more resilient since the pandemic, a lot more layers of redundancy. So we're unlikely to see those huge backups that we saw off the coast of, especially off the West Coast during the pandemic. That said, we do have ships already anchored out at sea because they can't get into the port. And by the way, if you hadn't heard the news, some cruise lines are already moving operations out of Baltimore down to Norfolk, because they simply cannot move in and out of this port. You guys, back to you.
All right, Tom Costello for us there in Baltimore. Tom, thanks.
We are joined now by the governor of Maryland, Westmore. Governor, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Thank you.
Unfortunately, we've learned that it is now a recovery mission for the six souls, the construction workers who were on that bridge and who have now presumably passed in those cold waters. Have you learned anything more about them? Have you been able to speak to their families at all?
I have. I had the chance to spend time with their families yesterday. And in addition to people who simply just went to work yesterday to work on potholes, they had no idea that them going to work was going to turn to a deadly occurrence. But, you know, when I had a chance to speak with their families and pray with and for their families, they just reminded me of who they were as people. They were fathers. They were sons. They were husbands. They were people who their families relied on. And so the commitment that I made to the families was that we would put every possible resource towards a search and rescue mission. But now that we've transitioned to a recovery mission, I'm going to make sure that we're going to put every possible resource to bring a sense of closure to these families.
Governor, there was a Mayday call that happened, and 90 seconds later, police were able to stop traffic on that bridge, which I would say is certainly heroic, and they probably saved countless lives. Was wondering about the construction workers on the bridge. Were they given any warning? Was there any attempt to get them off of the bridge?
There was, and you know, the thing that we saw, especially for these first responders who moved to both alert people who were there on the bridge and then also be able to stop the traffic flow, this was true heroism. You know, when we say that we are Maryland tough, and we are Baltimore strong, that shows who exemplifies that were these first responders. The fact that they were able to get cars off of the bridge and move cars off of the bridge, they saved countless lives that night. And so we're incredibly thankful for the work that they did.
Were they able to warn the people on board, the construction workers on the bridge?
Yeah, so the early indications that we have was that they were able to both start sending out notifications to people there and also being able to keep the cars from coming on the bridge.
It's such a tragedy. It unfolded in seconds, minutes, as we well know. Have you learned anything more, Governor, about what would have caused this cargo ship to suffer this catastrophic failure, lose power, and careen out of control?
We're still learning the details. We still have a thorough investigation that's going to take place to figure out both what led up to the power outage and then also what happened in the aftermath. And you're absolutely right. When you're looking at a cargo ship of that size and moving at that speed, it was going to be difficult for any infrastructure to be able to take on that blunt level of impact. But the consequences, the economic consequences, they cannot be overstated. And not just for the state of Maryland. We're talking about what this means for the entire country. We're talking about a port that is the that brings on more cars, more light trucks, more agricultural equipment than any other port in this country. So this is not just going to impact Maryland. We're talking about farmers in Kentucky. We're talking about auto dealers in Michigan who are all going to deal with the consequences of this. And also, in addition to the fact that we're the largest port for foreign cargo, over 51 million tons of foreign cargo every single, comes through the Port of Baltimore. So this is going to have enormous economic impacts. And it's the reason that we're so focused on making sure we get this done right and get it done quickly to be able to restore this bridge.
Well, speaking of, we only have a few seconds left, but do you have any somewhat realistic estimate about how long it will take to rebuild?
This is going to be a complicated effort because we're still dealing with mangled metal underwater. It's still a very dangerous situation for these first responders who are literally in the water right now as we speak. So this is going to be complicated. It is going to be long. And we know that we are going to need the support of everybody on board to be able to get it to completion. But we are going to get this done.
All right. Governor Westmore of Maryland, thank you for your time this morning, sir. And of course, we will continue to follow the latest developments from the scene throughout the morning.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Turning now to the latest flashpoint in the battle over reproductive rights. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments yesterday on restricting access to a commonly used abortion pill. It's a case that could have a wide-ranging impact on women all across the country. NBC's senior legal correspondent Laura Jarrett was in the room when it happened. Laura, were you struck by the fact that even the conservative justices in this case weren't convinced?
And not at all convinced. I think it is highly likely that they are going to reject this effort to limit access to the pill without touching the issue of abortion at all, which is what makes it so interesting. They don't have to because they seem most concerned that the group of advocates who are against abortion, the doctors, don't have the standing to sue. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. They don't have the legal right because they haven't been harmed. These are not doctors that actually prescribe mifepristone. Mm-hmm. These are not doctors that want to prescribe mifepristone. They're the ones that are saying, we're in the emergency room and we might see side effects. And for the justices on that court, even the conservatives, that is not enough. That does not show harm. And so I think that's how they're going to dismiss this case.
Well, it's interesting because that's technical grounds. Not that that means it's not important, but it is a technical grounds that doesn't reach the issue of the right to abortion in this country.
Yeah, but they're going to be knee deep in this issue. Even though they said they were getting out of the business of abortion when they overturned Roe v. Wade 2 years ago, they're still in it. And next month, actually, they're going to hear another case about Idaho's near total abortion ban and how that conflicts with a law in federal law right now that still exists, which says if you need emergency medical care, you get it, even if that means it's an abortion. Mm-hmm. And so there's still these tension points that we see coming up.
Sure. Thank you, Laura. Very much. We got Craig joining us now. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Savannah. Hoda, good morning to you. Good morning to you as well. Donald Trump facing some new legal challenges this morning as he plans a return to the campaign trail. And in an exclusive interview with NBC News, his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, the newly installed co-chair of the Republican National Committee, is weighing in on how donations to the Trump campaign will be used. NBC's Garrett Hake covers the Trump campaign, joins us now from Washington. Garrett, good morning.
Hey, Craig, good morning. Yeah, and in this campaign, it's been nearly impossible to separate Donald Trump's legal issues from his political campaign. But in our interview, the new RNC co-chair, Laura Trump, tells me in some ways she's hoping to do just that in an effort to move the party past 2020 and focus on defeating Joe Biden in this election.
This morning, Donald Trump facing new limits on what he can say about the historic hush money case that will make him the first former president ever to face criminal trial. Judge Juan Merchan slapping Mr. Trump with a pretrial gag order that bars him from making public statements about potential witnesses, court staff, or jurors. The former president can still direct his anger, as he often does on social media, at the judge and DA Alvin Bragg, a Trump spokesman calling the order unconstitutional.
This is a pure case of voter intimidation and election interference, and it shouldn't be allowed to happen.
With Mr. Trump tied up in court battles, the newly installed RNC co-chair Laura Trump, the wife of his son Eric, says the party has to stay focused on November and embrace some tactics Donald Trump has long derided.
We have to start encouraging Republican voters to do things like voting early, trust mail-in voting. These are ways that we actually can have a big lead as we head into Election Day.
Laura Trump also saying the party will not fund Mr. Trump's legal costs directly, and the donors can opt out of a fundraising system designed to send portions of each donation to an account that pays some Trump legal bills.
How do you tell people who are sending money to the RNC that it's more important to put their money towards paying the legal bills of a billionaire than helping elect Republicans in Pennsylvania or in Michigan?
Anyone who does not want to contribute to that very small amount of money is able to opt out of that.
And with abortion back in the spotlight with that case before the Supreme Court, Mr. Trump has mused publicly about a federal abortion ban, though Laura Trump says the RNC won't weigh in before November.
Donald Trump has talked about the idea of maybe a 15 or a 16-week ban recently. Would you advise him to stay out of this issue from a federal perspective?
I think if you asked him now, I think he would say he agrees with allowing the states to decide.
And on the matter of the Republican National Committee, NBC News announced on Tuesday it would be parting ways with the party's former chairwoman, Ronna McDaniel, who had been hired as a contributor by the network. Overnight, the former president attacking NBC for the hiring and the firing of McDaniel. Craig.
All right. Our senior congressional correspondent, Garrett Hakeforth, there. Garrett, thank you.
7:19, guys. How about a look at the weather? Mr. Roker, what you got cooking?
Good morning, guys. Morning. And good morning to you. We're looking at some heavy showers and thunderstorms coming on into the panhandle of Florida. We've got flood watches there. Also along the Outer Banks and the coastal parts of the Carolinas as this cold front makes its way to the East Coast. Rain developing here in New York, Northeast later today. Heavy rain from Florida into Virginia. Then tomorrow, that low moves up the coast. Soaking rain from Philadelphia on into Boston. So we could have some localized flooding, ponding on roads. The heaviest rain is going to be down along the North and South Carolina coastlines, upwards of 5 inches of rain, a little less as we move to the Northeast, but still some significant rainfall possible here as well. And that's your latest weather. Guys?
Thank you, Al. Still ahead, that collapse in Baltimore sharpening the focus on America's aging infrastructure. We're going to take a closer look at the concerns over our roads and bridges now being raised yet again in the safeguard that experts want to see on every bridge.
Plus, an exclusive bird's eye view of Paris, where the opening ceremony of the Olympics, less than 4 months away, Keir Simmons will show us how the city is preparing and what's being done to make sure that all of the athletes and fans are safe. But first, this is Today on NBC.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Go, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Let's go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think it's no coincidence I have enjoyed my best years of my career with Kylie by my side. Every accolade I have ever received has come with her in my life.
Oh, speech there back 7:30. That was, of course, Jason Kelce praising his wife. It was a really emotional retirement speech that he gave earlier this month. And we are happy to announce that we will get a chance to speak with Kylie. She's coming next week on Today.
I cannot wait to see her. She's going to be here Monday. She's taking part in a really special live event we're doing on the Plaza that will shine a light on autism awareness. So we're looking forward to catching
up with
Kylie.
That's going to be fun.
That's going to be a great time. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. Meanwhile, we do want to start this half hour with more on that bridge collapse in Baltimore. Tragic accident that is also this morning putting a new spotlight on the state of infrastructure in this country.
NBC's Ryan Nobles is at the scene for us with that angle on the story. Hi, Ryan. Good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning. And it took just seconds for the key bridge to collapse in the Patapsco River yesterday. And while everyone does agree that it was a unique and catastrophic event, it is raising new questions about America's aging roads and bridges.
It happened in an instant. A massive bridge built nearly 50 years ago, gone in seconds. What happened in Baltimore was shocking, but it was a freak accident. And according to Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, not a sign of a bigger problem.
How concerned should Americans be about the bridges that they're traversing every single day in this country?
Well, this is a unique circumstance. I do not know of a bridge that has been constructed to withstand a direct impact from a vessel of this size.
The bridge really did not stand a chance because of the size of the load that it felt.
Maryland's governor says the bridge was fully up to code. In 2021, a Federal Highway Administration inspection found the bridge was in fair condition. Still, experts say it was built at a time when shipping vessels were much smaller, and engineers could not imagine an accident like the one that happened this week. In 2021, the CEO of Synergy Marine Group, the company that manages the ship that caused the Baltimore collapse, told Bloomberg, quote, "Traffic on the seas is different from what it was 10 years ago. We need to look at how the port infrastructure needs to change, how ships transit." Some bridges already have barriers to protect their support structures. Experts telling NBC News these protection systems should be installed at every bridge. But America's infrastructure is getting more and more attention. In 2007, the collapse of the I-35 bridge in Minnesota killed 13 people. Unlike Baltimore, federal investigators said a design error led to its collapse. And just last year, major fires caused the partial collapse of Interstate 95 in Philadelphia. In 2023, the Federal Highway Administration found 42,000 bridges were in poor condition. And experts believe the tragedy, while incredibly unique, offers an opportunity.
I think that this is a call to action.
Well, Ryan, leaders have vowed to rebuild as soon as possible. Realistically, it's not going to be a quick effort, as we just heard from the governor last hour. What are experts saying in terms of this?
Yes, Savannah, there is no doubt that this is going to be a major effort. Keep in mind that nearly 50 years ago, it took 5 years to build the Key Bridge. Experts say the best case scenario this time around is that it would take at least 18 months or even 2 years for the bridge to be back open.
All
Savannah.
Right. Ryan, thank you very much.
All right, just ahead here, the plans to bring a pivotal moment in the life of music legend Bruce Springsteen to the big screen and the Emmy-winning star who could help step into the boss's shoes.
But first, look who's here. Keir Simmons got here from Paris, where he's checking on the Olympic preps. Hey, Keir.
Hey, guys. Good morning. That's right. What a way to see the Eiffel Tower from the air. We're going to take you over Paris to show you the security measures they are taking for this incredible Games. That's coming up.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. X-Go, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? X-Go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
We are back, 7:38. It's the countdown to Paris, the opening ceremony now less than 4 months away.
That's right. Officials are working really hard to get the city ready for the visitors, for the athletes. NBC's Keir Simmons was just in Paris. Ah. He flew here. He's in our studio. Hey, Keir, morning.
Great to be with you here in New York, guys. Even better to be with you in a few months' time in Paris. It's impossible to describe just how incredible these games are going to be because Paris will be part of the Games. But of course, that's going to mean a massive security operation. Get this, 1 million background checks. Perhaps the best way to show you is from the air.
When the spectacular Olympic opening ceremony gets underway on the Seine this summer, this may be the best seat in Paris. NBC News was given exclusive access into the operation to keep athletes and spectators safe, including from the air.
The Château de Versailles.
It's a bird's eye view of an unprecedented open Olympics in the heart of this beloved city.
So we're over the River Seine right now.
You will have the Tour Eiffel on your left.
Under the Eiffel Tower, there'll be beach volleyball, as world-famous landmarks become sports venues, like fencing and taekwondo at the Grand Palais, and archery at the Esplanade des Invalides. The heart of Paris hosting so many Olympic events, officials say the security operation will itself make history.
There will be 45,000 security personnel across Paris, including these guys.
The helicopter unit of the military police, the National Gendarmerie, say they are able to reach anywhere in Paris, anytime.
We can take off in 5 minutes, 24 hours. And we'll able to offer 2 to 3 helicopters whenever it's needed.
Ahead of the opening ceremony, with 10,000 athletes and 300,000 spectators, officials say they'll search and secure every neighboring rooftop. And on one of those rooftops, the Gendarmerie's anti-drone squad tell us they liaise with forces like the NYPD, using a radar gun to neutralize illegal drones.
Voyage!
This week, France raising its security alert level following the Moscow terror attack. But protecting the Paris Olympic Games has been years in the planning.
We will continue to defend the values of our country and to welcome the world.
On the front line too, 4.5-year-old Praxis, the Belgian shepherd trained to both search and attack if there's a threat.
He's a beautiful dog.
So, will they maybe get a chance to watch some Olympic sport? We'll be working, he says.
So we're performing a 360 around the village.
Over the Olympic Stadium, the helicopter team promises we won't see them, but they'll have eyes everywhere in the City of Light.
So that people who are coming in Paris can feel safe.
Boy, we're so excited about this, Keir. Oh, we're really excited about the opening ceremony. Yeah. We've heard bits and pieces, right. But what's in store for that?
Well, it's going to be 3.5 miles at 90 boats, and that is why they are taking the security so seriously. And they are adjusting things. So they've cut the number of spectators by half, and now it's going to be ticketed. And actually, President Macron just this week announced 400 more soldiers to protect the Games. But how about that helicopter ride, right? I mean, just
very
incredible.
Cool. Does it come with rosé?
I was hiding it from the camera.
I just know because we spent some time in Paris. I know. You know. Yeah.
The best way to get around Paris, though, just for your information, is by bike.
Oh.
So I can buy you all bikes.
We want a bicycle for two. Yeah, can you handle that here?
Do that. Please don't.
I can't wait.
Please don't.
You know it'll end well.
That's
okay, fine. Right. Bicycle for three.
No.
Don't forget Roker. Bicycle for four.
He's already got his bike.
I'm bringing my folding bike with me.
He always brings his folding bike.
This is going to break the internet.
Or our backs. We'll see. Thank you, Keir. Looking forward.
Mr. Roker.
All right, let's take a look. For our friends out west, it's going to be a bit of a mess over the next 72 to further out, 96 hours. We've got storm number one today through Thursday, bringing heavy showers, thunderstorms along the coast, all the way from New England, I should say, from the northwest, all the way down into San Luis Obispo. We're looking at heavy rain, 1 to 2 inches, up to 2 feet of snow in the Sierra. And then we've got storm number two out there. This one is going to be coming in Friday through Sunday, bringing heavy rain, isolated severe storms. We could be looking at mud and rock slides, a real mess, and more heavy snow for the Sierra Mountain. And that's your latest weather, guys.
All right. Thanks, Al. Thank you. Coming up, a popular topic around here, sleep. Mm-hmm. We're going to explore new research that's revealing the impact of your nightly habits on your health. Mm-hmm. Plus, Hoda's got a little morning boost just ahead, right after this.
Carson has joined the party just in time. It's our favorite part of the morning, the boost.
Let's do it, guys. I love this video so much. A heartwarming gesture before New York's Red Bulls game last weekend, getting a lot of attention on social media. So it happened on the field. So there was a torrential rainstorm. Watch as the Red Bulls forward, Dante Van Zier, takes off his jacket and puts it on the young boy in front of him. A moment that kid will not forget. But you know what they say, acts of kindness are contagious. So down the line it went. The next player in line, did the same thing. And one by one, they took off their raincoats and put them on the young kids there. Those kids in front, by the way, escort the players on the field before the match. The Red Bulls captioned a video of that moment by saying, "We're not crying, you're crying." But it was a beautiful gesture.
That's cool. Planned, you know, mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. Very sweet. Cool. Thanks, Hoda. Coming up, guys, you know, our Sweet 16 bracket's at its Final Four.
Oh, wow.
Today on Popstar, I've got the big Final Four announcement.
Okay.
I heard there's a big upset in the East.
No!
I don't want to give it away, but we'll find out.
Destined for greatness.
Yeah.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.